Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be speaking this morning about the wise men. The wise men have a very important part to play in the story of the Christmas story of the birth of Jesus. And we should have a, there we go, the wise men. There wouldn't be anybody, I don't think, in the world that hasn't heard about the wise men. And I want to take the only scripture that talks about the wise men is Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to go through them verses at a time. And I just want to tell you some things you don't know, some things that you do know, and some things that I hope are going to really inspire us about the wise men. It says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, the word that I read then was Magi or Magi. And in the King James Version, it calls these people wise men. And that word was written wise men because this word magi is such a difficult word to actually translate. It has several different meanings coming from the Greek. But the word magi can mean a very well-educated person, as what we would class of university level professors. It could mean that. It could also mean a scientist. It can also mean a magician. And it can also mean a priestly astronomer. A priestly astronomer. So the wise men, we feel, were priestly astronomers because of two reasons. They were following a star. That would sort of make you a bit of an astronomer, wouldn't it? And they were looking for the King Jesus, which I think there's a priestly side to that as well. Now, this story is wrapped, it's a very quick story, and there's big gaps in it that we have to try to make up. You know, sometimes you have to read between the lines what is there, and somebody says to me, it's very easy to read between the lines because there's nothing there. So we're gonna put some things there this morning. The first thing is, we say there were three of them. In actual fact, the scripture does not say there was three. It actually says wise men came, and we draw the conclusion that there were three because they gave three gifts. Okay, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we draw the conclusion that there was three of them. In all the studies that I've done, I can't find in any Christian antiquity any time that they changed that at all. It's always been believed there were three. So when we say there were three, I think we're pretty well on the spot there. There's no controversy about that. There is a controversy as to where they came from. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah during the time of King Herod, Magi, or priestly astronomers, that's what I'm going to put there, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Again, as I've looked at Christian antiquity, it's been a hard one to find out where did they come from. Where did these three astronomers come from that we call wise men? Mostly people think that they came from Persia. And a lot of commentators believe that they came from a long, long way. Some have said as far as 1,000 kilometers away. And again, Christian antiquity backs that up. So they come a long way, well-educated men, looking for a king. He said they saw his star. So I think, well, how does that seeing a star interpret to somebody who's a king of the Jews, and they're 1,000 kilometers away and have to travel all that way to see him. What we need to understand is that the Jews during this time and several hundred years before now were not just in Jerusalem or in Israel. The Jews have been scattered right throughout the Roman Empire. And in being scattered, they'd started synagogues. So right the way through, right back from Persia all the way through, wherever Rome had gone, Jews had settled and built synagogues, and they had the Word, the Old Testament, the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible particularly, and the prophets. So they had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the prophets. And the Jews would read them and teach them. So wherever they were living, people would know that the Jews have got this special book. So I think that these astronomers had gotten hold of the special books over the years and were looking at it. They were studious people. They studied the stars, and I think they were studying the Jewish scriptures. They may even have been, listen to this, Jews. That is a strong possibility. They could have been Jews, or if not Jews, what we call proselyte Jews. That is people who've taken on the Jewish faith. The reason I believe this and I think this is because they came seeking the King of the Jews. Now, how many of you know that there was already a king in Israel? Herod. Now, he was a puppet king, but he was one of a line of many kings. So these wise men were seeking a king. Where did they get this from? There's already a king there. And there was kings being born in kingdoms all around them. But this one that they're looking for is something special. So it makes me believe that they were looking for the one that was prophesied in the Bible. Okay, so that's what, and it would have taken them a long, long time traveling from where they did to Jerusalem. Now, as you read this, I want you to notice something. The first part of the story doesn't tell us that the star was moving and guiding them. It tells us we saw his star rise in the east, and they came to Jerusalem. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi or wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born, King of the Jews?" They came to Jerusalem. The star didn't stop over Jerusalem. So they had, in all probability, was not following a moving star. They had seen a star at this stage rising, and they were studying the stars, which the Bible tells us you can do. They're given for times and seasons. So these guys were lining up the Old Testament with the stars, and they knew that there was going to be a king that was born who was a special king. Herod? Nah. He was a puppet king. He wasn't a special king that you'd want to come 1,000 kilometers to visit. They felt in the spirit there was going to be a birth of a king of the Jews. And they wanted to see this king of the Jews. And the Jews were relatively a small nation at that time. So that's what makes me think that they were definitely connected to Israel. Either they become proselyte Jews or they were born Jews. And they came to Jerusalem. Well, that's pretty obvious. If you're thinking of a king, you go to where? Jerusalem, because that's where the kings are. David had adopted Jerusalem and made it the city that was the capital city of Israel. And all the kings then sat in Jerusalem. David was born in Bethlehem, but he reigned from Jerusalem. So into the mind of these men looking, they didn't have all knowledge, but they came to Jerusalem seeking. And when they came there, let's read it. They came, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, they were asking, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Wow. So they were asking people, they were asking religious leaders, where is he? They were fully expecting that all these people would know where he is, that he's born, and could tell him where to go. We have come to worship him. And the strange thing was, these guys who were asking didn't know what they were talking about. They did not know. And it says this in verse 3. King Herod heard this, or when he heard it, he was disturbed. King Herod was disturbed. Why? Because he was a king. And he hasn't just been born. And these guys are saying there's somebody going to be born that's a king of the Jews. Well, if there's a new king coming, that puts him out of a job. And if you don't put him out of a job, it puts his son out of a job. Do you understand? He was disturbed. And he wanted to know more about this. He says, when Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So I wonder what these wise men were thinking. We're pretty sure this is what the Bible's teaching. Where is he? Nobody seems to know. He would have been pretty confusing. Would you agree? Come on, say yes. It would be confusing for them. And it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he, the king, had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now, this is interesting. He gets the religious leaders and the teachers of the law together, and he asks this question, where is Christ going to be born? He didn't say, where is the king going to be born? Isn't that interesting? We know that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's a king. But we also know he's the Christ. The word Christ is the word that we use for Messiah. The Hebrew word is Messiah. And the word Messiah and Christ just mean, listen to this, anointed one. So whenever you say Christ, you're saying the anointed one. Whenever you say the Messiah, you're talking about the anointed one. So the Jews had been taught that a Messiah would come, a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish anointed man. And a lot of them was thinking he'll be anointed like King David and become a great king, not a puppet king like this guy. So they were, so many of them were looking for the Messiah to come. Some thought it was many years ahead before they would never see him in their lifetime, but they were looking. And so Herod, as he's talking to they must have said to him, they're talking about the king who's the Messiah. So Herod's now using the term Messiah. Now, this is sad to me because he asks these wise men all about it. Then he asks the people around him that knew the law and the scriptures. When he'd called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And this is what they answered. In Bethlehem, they replied, for this is what the prophet has said, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd, who will be the shepherd of my people. He's the Lord, the shepherd, the Messiah, the King. So they said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The king was thinking that he was going to be born in Jerusalem, and others did. But the prophets actually said Bethlehem. When Herod heard that, it says, Herod then called the wise men, the priestly astronomers, secretly, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Listen to this. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I too may go and worship him. What a lying man he is. He sounds a lot like Putin, doesn't he? A lot like lying. He wanted to destroy this Messiah. He wanted to destroy. Now, this shows you this is a king of Israel who's asked the religious people about it, and they've said this is what the scriptures teach. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, the Christ, the Messiah. And we know what Herod was planning to do, kill him. Wouldn't you be afraid if you was Herod to do that or to say anything like that? He's going against the prophets and the scriptures. He knows what the scriptures teach. There's going to be a Messiah. There's going to be a King of Kings. He knows that because they've explained it. But he wants to get rid of him because he wants to be the king. Here, Herod is very much symbolic of Satan. Satan wants to get rid of Jesus because Satan wants to be the ruler. So Herod called these priestly astronomers to him, and he told them to go and find him, because I guess he thought, well, they're the ones who's really seeking. They sort of know what they're doing. And he says, find him, really make an intense search for him, and when you find him, let us know. Please let me know, because I want to go and worship him. Now, Bethlehem is situated about 8 to 10 kilometers south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was a city where David was born and raised. Bethlehem, the name Bethlehem, means the house of bread. Jesus wasn't born in Jerusalem. He was born in the house of bread. He was born in Bethlehem. Now, Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem because there'd been a census called by the Romans. They actually lived in Nazareth. That's where they lived. Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 128 kilometers. Mary was heavily pregnant, but the Romans were vicious people. They couldn't kill, and they hated the Jews particularly, and they wanted to take a census of all the people. And they didn't send census forms around for you to fill in on a particular night. They said, wherever you were born, wherever your lineage is, your ancestors, come to that town and be counted. So people were going to various towns. Mary and Joseph, their lineage was Bethlehem. Interesting, isn't it? And listen to this. She had to travel, heavily pregnant, which would have taken something well over a week on a donkey. She couldn't have walked that, obviously, in her condition. And she came to Bethlehem after all that. Do you feel sorry for her? I mean, a heavily pregnant woman, and Joseph would have walked by the side, so they would have been on the road for a minimum of a week. It could have been 10 days till they got to Bethlehem. Then when they got to Bethlehem, there was no room for them. They couldn't find any lodgings, no motels, no hotels. They couldn't afford a hotel anyway, but could get a cheap motel, but there wasn't even that. All that they could find, the innkeeper says, we've just got a place where we keep the animals, which is attached probably to the place, the inn, and you can, that's all I can offer to you. So her child was born in a stable. As we heard this morning, laid in a manger. So you can imagine the smell. You can imagine how unsanitized it was, how horrible it was. That's where the baby was born. And that's where the shepherds came to see the baby. That is not where the wise men saw the baby. The wise men did not probably come on the night of the baby's birth. The baby had been born. And we'll see in a moment the baby had moved into a house. The baby was probably a few weeks old when the wise men saw the baby. So the shepherds had come and they in their way had worshipped the baby. What a wonderful night that was, but we're not talking about the shepherds tonight. So Herod says, go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star which they'd seen in the east went ahead of them. All of a sudden, this star's appeared again. They saw that star in the east. They was reading the stars. They knew it's time for a king to be born, and they came to Jerusalem. They knew some of the Bible, not all of it, didn't realize what the prophet had said. But now they've got to go to Bethlehem, 8 kilometers away. And this light that they had seen, this star, wasn't a star like the sun. You realize that, don't you? And this one had risen. They'd seen it, and now it was, they came out of Jerusalem, and there was the star moving. In fact, the star moved for 8 kilometers, and it stayed above the place where they were. We'll see that in a moment. But the star did not lead them to Jerusalem. Do you understand what I'm saying here? They went there thinking. They'd seen the star. They'd understood. They were reading the astronomer at the time, trying to line it up with the scripture. But now, this star or light was actually moving. And after 8 kilometers, it stayed over the place where the child was. So let's just read that. It says, when they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star which they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Everybody say overjoyed. Overjoyed. Say a bit louder than that. Come on. Overjoyed. Hey, these guys have traveled 1,000 kilometers. And they were sent out of Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and they thought, this is going to be hard. We've been searching in Jerusalem. Now we're going to go and search in Bethlehem. How long is it going to be? This star, they saw it, and it was moving. It was a light. They called it a star, but it wasn't a sun, because it was able to stay over the place where the child was born. Can you imagine if a sun came and we wouldn't exist anymore, would we? So it was a light. Listen to this. It was a light that was leading these men to the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What better for us to find Jesus except finding him through the light of the Holy Spirit. And do you know what the light of the Holy Spirit is? The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is a light that leads us to the light. Say amen to that. Amen. So he says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child. On coming to the house. Take notice of that. This was a little different time to when the shepherds had come. On coming to the house, they saw the child. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country
by another route. So by the time they got home, they probably traveled 2,000 kilometers. Wasn't that some journey? Come on, wasn't that some searching? Now, I'm quite happy to use the term wise men. I know it's a bad transliteration of magi. The best one really is, like I said to you, priestly astronomers. Some have said it can be magicians, it can be scientists, can be well-educated. But I like the term that the King James Version uses, wise men. Do you know why I like that term? Because three things had happened. One, they were overjoyed that they were going to find the Messiah. Two, when they came into the house, they worshipped the Messiah. And three, they gave gifts to the Messiah, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these gifts were token gifts. They didn't give them a big slab of gold. They were token gifts. But these gifts represented something that these wise men, these priestly astronomers knew about. Gold always represents, listen to this, two things: kingship and righteousness in the Bible. And purity, you can add that to it as well. Gold represents kingship, righteousness, and purity. They were coming to the one who was to be born king. So they presented him a little emblem saying, we know that this babe is a king. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense was used so much by priests in all the different things that they did. It was a beautiful smelling thing, and it was incense. They used to burn it, make beautiful smells. Incense also is symbolic of the prayers of the saints. Incense is symbolic of priesthood. So these wise men were saying, we've come to see a king and we've come to see a priest. The babe is not only a king, but the babe is a priest. And then they gave him the strangest gift of all, myrrh, which also has a sweet smell with it and is used in different fragrances, but also it is used as a painkiller. It is also used in embalming the dead. But they gave Jesus myrrh when he was on the cross to deaden his pain. It is a painkiller, as well as being used for embalming the dead. These wise men were wise because they knew that this king, this priest, would suffer. He would suffer. And he would suffer at the hands of people like Herod. People like the so-called religious of the time. He would suffer. All through his life he suffered. And he's still suffering. Do you know why? Through you. He sees your suffering and it becomes his suffering. Jesus said to the disciples, if they've done this to me, they'll do it to you. He says, in the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So Jesus, in a sense, is suffering because he feels your suffering. He feels it when you're hurt. He feels it when you're lonely. He feels it when you're attacked. He feels what you feel. He goes through it. He loves you. So he is a suffering king. He's a suffering priest because he loves us so much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the thing I love about this, it says, and then they were warned in a dream after they'd worshipped the Lord, given him their gifts, shown that they were truly wise men. And there's a Christmas song that says, children, wise men still adore him, the one born in Bethlehem. Lay your gifts before him. In your heart, he'll be born again. So I'm calling them wise men. Everybody say wise men. Wise men. Don't ever be upset if anybody says to you they're not wise men, because they were wise men. And this proves it. They were probably priestly astronomers, but they were wise. But there's three things I want to finish with right now, very quickly. Three things that they did that tells me they were wise. They rejoiced, they worshipped, and they gave. We've heard this morning about giving from our brother. What a lovely message about first fruits giving. We need to give. Friends, if you're not a giver, and he talked about first fruits, let me tell you this. If you're not a tither, you need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to start giving to you in a way I've never given before. I want to give what you deserve. I want to give what is rightly yours. I want to give it to you. When you put your money in the offering like you did today, that is spent by the oversight of the church. Not by you, but the oversight of the church are representing you before God. So when you're giving, I know we give to this church, and we give to missions. I say, well, we gave to the church. We did. But don't look at it that way. Look at it that your giving is giving to God. And that then God trusts the money that you've given to the hands of people to spend it wisely so the church can grow, so the church can mature, so the church can outreach. That's what your money actually is doing. But when you gave, and you online, as you've given, and many of us give, electronically, we give electronically, don't ever forget you're giving to God. And if you haven't given to God, before Christmas gets here, do it. Come on, give. If you owe some money to the church, give it. It's gone awfully quiet all of a sudden. I'm serious, give. We got a wonderful example of Christmas with these wise men. They rejoiced. I mean, if I just traveled 1,000 kilometers on a camel, I don't know whether I'd be feeling too happy. Not on a camel. In a nice, comfortable train or plane, but I don't think I could travel 1,000 kilometers on a camel and feel happy. But it says these guys were rejoicing because they saw the light. Amen. And they worshipped. We had a lovely service this morning, beautiful worship, lovely songs. Did you feel that? Lovely. And the lovely sense of that, as I was worshipping God, I felt the presence of God. You worshipped. And if you didn't worship him this morning, shame on you. You're not wise. And if you want rejoicing, shame on you. You're not wise. Wise men, wise women, rejoice in Jesus. Wise men, wise women, give to Jesus. We worship Jesus. Hallelujah. And every time you come to church, worship him. I'm going to say it again. I'm trying, Lord, really trying. Every time you come to church, worship him. And we have a beautiful singing team and musicians. Don't worship them. Don't come and expect to be entertained. You enter in and worship him. And those who are playing the instruments, you're not entertaining us. You are worshiping the Lord and trying to lead us into worship. So let's worship him. And you may say, I didn't feel like worshiping today, Pastor. You don't know what's gone off in my life. I don't. But I don't care what's gone off in your life. He's still worthy of your worship. Come on. Because all things work together for good to them who love God. Romans 8:28. Whatever you're going through today, whatever it is, if you're a Christian, your heart may be broken. I was talking to a lady just this week who lost her daughter last year, a terrible cancer. It was really bad. So her daughter was about 40, taken away from her. And she's a lovely Christian. She said, I don't understand it, John. I've got so many questions. And then she says to me, I bet you've got a lot of questions about your lovely wife, Julie. We've known each other for many, many years, this family. She says, you'd have a lot. I said, I do have a lot of questions. She said, but one thing I notice, it doesn't stop you from praising the Lord. She says, and this is, I don't understand it, John, but I'm going to keep praising him. I mean, I saw her heart broken when she lost her lovely daughter. It was terrible. We went to visit her in the week that the daughter died, and she was praising God, wasn't she? And we don't understand bad things, sad things,
But don't let it stop you worshiping the Lord, because that's what the devil wants to do. Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And do you know what Herod did? I'll finish with this. Herod, when he found out that these wise men had gone, they didn't come and tell him where he was, he made a decree that all boys 2 years old and under in the Bethlehem region were to be put to death. What a wicked, evil man, all for his own purposes. Like we see that wicked, evil man there in Russia, for his own purposes, are sending soldiers to their death, and families are missing out because somebody wants to show how great he is, and he wants to conquer the world. Well, God have mercy on his soul, and I doubt very much unless he repents, he will have no mercy at all. And I'm telling you, Herod was a wicked, wicked man to do what he did. And if you read the scriptures further, you'll see there was weeping and gnashing, and there's the prophets prophesied that this would happen. So I'm saying this to you. If you're a Christian, I don't know what's going off in your life. It may be hard, may be tough right now. Don't stop rejoicing. Don't stop worshiping, and don't stop giving. And the Lord will bless you. This Christmas will be a wonderful Christmas for every one of us as we worship him. And if you feel now a little bit convicted by what I've said, that I don't think I worshipped him as I should have done, it's not too late. On the way home, you can worship him in your car. Oh, I can't worship him there. My husband's in the car. Forget the old man. You can worship him anyway. Doesn't matter. Forget the kids. You can worship. And kids, you can forget. You can worship him. Worship him. Actually thank him and worship him that God sent his son into the world for us. And we're born again because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. Did you get anything from that one? Let's stand and just pray, and then we're going to have some fellowship together. Father, we just thank you for your wonderful word that gives us such enlightenment, Lord. We thank you for the light of your word that's led us to the light of Jesus. We thank you that the light of Jesus is within us, because Jesus said he was the light of the world, but then he said we are. And we are the light of the world is because Jesus is within us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into our lives in the power of the Spirit. And we pray this Christmas will be a beautiful Christmas, a wonderful Christmas, where we glorify and magnify you. So bless us in our fellowship together now. May our fellowship be sweet and blessed in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
But they didn't say it loud enough, so they got to say it again. Everybody said?
Amen.
And they shouted, Hallelujah! God bless you all.